Thank you very much. I would like to start by saying that I'm not a climate scientist. I'm a teacher of language and literature, Kiswahili. But I got involved in this project that was being done by climate scientists, especially meteorologists in Kenya. This project has been running, or had been running, since the year 2007, but I got on board last year. I was drafted in for two major reasons. One, to help in the compilation of a book as a result of the project. Two, to help in the translation of the book into Kiswahili for wider dissemination and into the local language of whom these people are part, or I belong to this community also. So I was brought in to help in the compilation and translation of the book into Kiswahili and the local language. But what I want to start by saying is that there is a community in western part of Kenya who call themselves rainmakers. And I put the phrase rainmakers, or the word rainmakers, in quotes, because this particular community believes, and it's believed, to make rain. The modern scientists don't believe that they make rain. And so this is an area where two intellectual communities came together, and they were trying to find out exactly who does what and how that is done. However, during my interaction for the time I've been with this project, I discovered that there is a weather law. There is a whole wealth of information that is maintained and orally transmitted about how this particular community believes they can read the environment and predict when rain will fall or will not fall. And they also believe that they have power to either bring thunder or stop rain from falling. And so I discovered that there are different and competing knowledge systems, the modern science one and the indigenous knowledge system. But what was interesting is that these two systems were in dialogue. The major reason why these two communities came together was to try and integrate indigenous knowledge with modern science of rainfall prediction. As we all know, the problem or the challenges of climate change are all over. And so there was a project that was started before I come to that, maybe just to let you know is that the Nganyi community is found around here, western part of Kenya, around Kisumu, for those of us who have been there, or those of you who can see there. But what's important is that the presence of the lake, and then this community is in living around hills. That's very crucial for the prediction of the rainfall, as I'll explain later. This is just part of the team. The community is large, but every sub-clan, if you like, has its own powers to predict rain. So this is just one of the sub-clans, about eight of them. I'd like you to note that these are old people, not so many young people. That the young guys you see at the back are part of the team helping interpretation, but they're not part of the community. What I would like you all to note is that later we shall see, and I want you to look at the gender politics, only women who are beyond childbearing age are allowed to participate in this. There are a lot of politics about that, but shall look at that. But just to give you a background information about the Nganyi Rainmakers Project, it was a collaborative initiative that was started between modern science and indigenous knowledge experts. The clan, the Nganyi clan, we have the larger Nganyi clan, if you like it, the government of Kenya, the Kenya Meteorological Department, the National Museums of Kenya, the Kenya Intellectual Property Institute, There were academics from various institutions, zoologists, botanists, meteorologists, and so on and so forth. Then there were international or research and development partners, IDRC, DFID, and so on and so forth. They funded this project. However, this project is part of a larger project which is being, or initiative being done by the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, which is an authority or an organization based in Nairobi, but dealing with the larger Horn of Africa, Kenya, Somalia, Sudan, Ethiopia, and Uganda on development issues. So there was a project on Climate Prediction and Application Center. This project was trying to bring together experts, and I'm using the word experts deliberately, to find out solutions to problems of the environment, climate, and specifically for this project, rainfall and predictability. And so there was need to understand how indigenous communities were coping with climate challenges. And so this team was formed, led by IGAD, but supported by the Climate Change Adaptation in Africa support. What came out, what I found when I went on board, was that it was an interdisciplinary team that was local, national, and global. Now, this team, the Nganyi Indigenous Knowledge of Rainmaking, this idea, this system has been in place for centuries. In fact, the community believes that it is a gift from God. However, there have been issues raised about the powers to make rain, and so they are all issues about legends and myths about this community. However, what is important, and what I discovered, and what we discovered as a team, was that what I call the indigenous scientists have ability to read the environment. They can look at animal behavior, they can look at plant behavior, they can look at the sky, they can look at the wind and predict almost accurately about when rain will come. There are rituals and offerings that are given in shrines. This is just one of the shrines. There are nine, and there are rituals performed here. And this is where my interest starts. During the performance of rituals, the elders communicate. They say words. They speak words. They recite poems. There are metaphors that are used. They don't just speak. They don't just call rain by its name. And so a number of things take place during ritual performance. These people are going to the shrine to perform their rituals. You realize the old women are there going. They're allowed. Young women are not allowed. This old man here is the expert in predicting rain, but he has to perform some ritual. As he does that, there are others around him who are chanting, who are singing, who are saying words to the gods. And this is where my interest is. These songs that are being sung, the words that are being said, the proverbs and riddles that are being used by this community. This, to me, is what forms what I call the weather lore of these people. These very rich oral traditions. The scientists from IGAD were not keen on that. That was not their interest. Their interest was on the end result. What is it that the traditional rainmakers, as it were, are doing? But as I was on board, I discovered that there was something that we are missing. That this information is being ignored, yet it's part of the whole process. And so I became interested in the words, in the songs, in the riddles, in the metaphors, and the proverbs that are being used. And so this project is coming to an end, but I'm trying to start a new one to look at, to study the weather law, the words, the songs, and so on and so forth. I'm doing that because I discovered that the indigenous knowledge is declining in visibility and importance. And this is as a result of modernity institutions. Education has had an impact to the extent that the young people who have gone to school no longer believe so strongly in rainmaking as it were. They no longer believe in the weather law as it were. The media and ICT have also had a negative effect. But our interest is that we can use the same to have a positive impact on collecting and preserving this knowledge. Religion has had also an effect, that those people who believe that these are sorcerers, these people are not genuine ones. It's God who gives rain and no man can make or rain. And the whole issue of the government, land ownership, population, and so on and so forth. During the research that is just ending and from where we have picked, we discovered that there may be epistemological differences, but the science of indigenous people and the modern one is not very, very different. And this we discovered when we looked at what the indigenous community does and what the Kenya Meteorological Department does. For the last 3 years, these two intellectual communities have been making their own predictions. And then they come together in what we call COFs, Climate Outlook Forums. The indigenous community predicts, the experts predict when rain will come. Then the modern ones predict when rain will come. And so they meet together to exchange ideas, to see how. What we found out was that there are very similar forecasts reported in the last 3 months. The indigenous community would say there will be rain from the second week of June up to maybe towards end of August. They were not so exact. But the modern scientists, the experts from Nairobi, meteorologists, would say rain will start on 21st and it will end on 27th of August. Now, this track, even the meteorologist, the similarity in forecasts. During the COFs, the two communities exchange notes, they share information, and then they agree. The information that is given is now disseminated in the indigenous language to give to the people. And it was important, or it is important, that this indigenous knowledge is retained because it makes more sense to the local community because it's localized, it's of immediate use, and more important. Whereas the one from the Kenya Meteorological Department is generally national, regional. There'll be 23 millimeters of rainfall in Western Kenya. This too general, but this community says people living on the other side, on the eastern side of this hill, will receive rain. It makes more sense that way than just saying there'll be rain in Western Kenya. So we find that this Kenya Meteorological Department forecast is long-term, and so it looks very foreign to the people. It's more important when you are told, those of you who are on this side, you can start planting the first week, but those of you on the other end of the other side of the hill, you can plant a week after. And this is what struck even the experts. What is important is that it was decided that there must be a community trust to take charge of this, and then the community resource center, which is being built now. And this community resource center has to be furnished with information, data, and so on and so forth. And so those of us on the team were asked to do whatever we can to ensure the Community Resource Center has something. And this way, I thought this weather law this information and its science has to be discussed. But let me just show you here this Outlook Consensus Forum. In this photograph, we have modern scientists of rainfall prediction from the Kenya Meteorological Department and indigenous people. They are in one of the shrines sharing information on how the predictions will be over a period of 3 months. After discussing in this shrine, they would go to a room and then start exchanging notes about exactly what they have come up with. So one big problem is that the shrines as sites of knowledge production are under a lot of stress, population, land rights, and so on and so forth. However, the information is still with the people, but the people are getting old. The young people are not so keen, and they don't have this information. So we are arguing that there is need to look at the weather law as a narrative that has a lot of information on rainfall prediction, a narrative that is read by the indigenous community, and it has zoological, botanical, cosmological, and even astronomical information. It's only for the modern scientists to understand what it is that indigenous communities are doing. And we are arguing that climate change and rainfall prediction actually reflect modern scientific knowledge. But these are concepts that have become in vogue in recent times. But climate has been changing for so many years, and people knew how to deal with that. And so there is need for us to demystify the whole concept of rainmaking as superstition. It's not superstition, it's a science that needs to be understood. And so we are saying that it is an intellectual or oral intellectual history that we have not really gotten into, and we need to get into it, try to get the various genres, oral genres, songs, poetry, stories, metaphors, folktales, proverbs, riddles, try to analyze them because they contain the ideology of the environment that the people have. It's a resource, it's critically important, and we need to engage with it. It is a history of ideas and skills of reading the environment. And so I've explained why we need to archive this information, because nothing has been done so far, yet it has been in existence for a very long time. It's a heritage, it's a repository of the information that people have. It's endangered, it's fragile, yet it has sustained communities. And this is not the only community that has this information. There are others. There is need for us to listen to voices from below, instead of just listening from voices from above. We have to embrace alternative narratives about climate change and rainfall prediction. And I'm saying that by archiving this information, it's very important we can do that. Let's look at the challenges that are there. Modernity is a vast task, but through collaborations of different scholars, different intellectual communities, there is a rich resource that we can pick and use. We need to build dialogue, and I've explained, between different communities, different people, different institutions, and through that, I believe that this information can help not just the local community, but different other communities also, not just in Kenya, but across the continent, because this information is rich across the continent of Africa and elsewhere. In conclusion, I'm saying that Ngany weather law is not a myth. It's a science that maybe modern scientists have not studied. It's a cultural space with recollections and meanings. We have to decipher the meanings. It's a space that shows relations between the community, their land, water, plants, animals, sky, and so on and so forth. We have to discuss etymology, content, structure, context, and meaning of these various weather law journals. And I'm saying that this is important, and I believe if this information is archived, then these other processes of discussion and analysis can follow. And this is what we intend to do as we embark on this project in the next phase. In a nutshell, those are some of the ideas that I'm grappling with in this project. Thank you very much for listening.